We will look at our memory verses. Last week's memory verse was Romans 15. Will you join with me? Accept one another. Please repeat after me. Accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. Once again, accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. Romans 15:7. Now, today's verse is from John 11:25. Say it with me. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me will live even if he dies. John 11:25. Let's say it again. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. John 11:25. Now I call upon Brother Ian Robson to minister the word of God.
I'm glad that the memory verse this morning is in line in what I have to, what's on my heart to share. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live. That's what I want to underline. Shall live even if he dies. And we're not just talking about physical death. We're talking about the life that we have to live on this earth. Last week we saw that we are called to be witnesses of the resurrection of Jesus. Not just about his death and crucifixion and what he did for us on the cross, but we saw that the apostles were witnesses of Jesus' resurrection. And they had to suffer for that right to the end of their lives. And not just witnesses of Jesus being resurrected from the dead, being raised from the dead, but the life that we live, as we saw, is a resurrection life. That's what we are called to live, a resurrection life. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that's directed towards you and me if we are part of the body of Christ, if we have come to him in repentance and faith. That same power that we can experience to live a resurrection life. That is our calling on this earth, which is far above. Like I said, we are not to walk as mere men. We are heavenly beings. We may have physical bodies here, but we have within us the Spirit of heaven. We have the Holy Spirit within us. And if we have received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, then we can experience that power every day. Like I said, we don't just concentrate about dying. I die daily, Paul said, but I'm also resurrected daily. If I die, I'm raised again. That is why we are called to be witnesses of Jesus' resurrection. And I want this morning that we look at Philippians in chapter 3. And really see what God is seeking to say to us as a church, what God is seeking to say to every one of us here who have come into the family of God through repentance and faith, and you receive the forgiveness of your sins, and you know that your sins have been blotted out, you've received the power of the Holy Spirit, you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I want you to really be gripped, my brothers and sisters, with the life that God has called us to live on this earth. In Philippians in chapter 3, Philippians chapter 3, this is what Paul was gripped with. This is the life he lived. This is the life the apostles lived. This is the life that was there in the early church. Philippians chapter 3 in verse 7. He says, but, you know, in verses 1 to 6, he talks about many things that he could have put confidence in. Many things that he could have boasted about. He could have put confidence in the flesh. And, you know, he says, as to the law, he was blameless. In verse 5, as a Pharisee. And zeal. He was a persecutor of the church. As the righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. What a life under the law he lived. But, he says, verse 7, whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish. And that word means dog's dung. So that I may gain Christ. I may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. And he goes on to say, not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. This is not a pie in the sky life. I want you to see, my brothers and sisters, that Jesus has laid hold of you and me. If we are part of him, if we are part of his family, we are not just grasping something like a carrot before a horse's nose. No, this is real. This is reality. And he has laid hold of you and me for this. And he says, Paul says, I want to lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. At the end of verse 12. And he says, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And notice the words he uses there. I press on. Twice he says, I press on. I reach forward. It's a picture of an athlete. It's a picture of, you know, of an athlete running the marathon. And he's only got one thing in mind. He wants to finish the race. He wants to reach the end. And he knows it's not a carrot before his nose. There is a goal. There is something I press forward to. And that is what you and I are called to live. That's the way we are to live on this earth. We have a goal. We are focused. And he says, one thing I do, I forget what is behind. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God. Notice the words. I press on towards the upward call of God. You know, so there's no chance of, you know, that us living down here, we are to, every day that I live on this earth, I must be going higher. We sing that song, Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. Higher ground. That is what should be in our hearts. Higher ground. Lord, I don't want to live this mundane life. I don't want just coming to meetings, reading the Bible, having my quiet time, and whatever else I do to serve the church. I want to partake of your resurrection life. I want to count for you on this earth. As long as I live, I want to press on, Lord. That should be our goal, to know Jesus and the power of his resurrection. And that's what is on my heart for us today. To know Jesus and the power of his resurrection. That was Paul's goal. And he said he counted everything. Whatever was gained, he says, I counted as loss. I count all things, not some things, all things to be loss, in view of the surpassing value. The surpassing value, that nothing can be compared to this. Nothing, no promotion, no success, no material gain, nothing I get on this earth, no recognition in the church, no ministry in the church, nothing. You know, we don't need to have a ministry. There's something far greater, the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. I don't have to get up here to speak that, to prove it. I live it. I speak what I believe and what I live. And if we are going in that way, then we can speak. but to see it as a surpassing value of knowing Jesus as Lord and knowing the power of his resurrection. So there are three important things that we must be living, that must be true in our lives if I am to live this life that God has called you and me to live. And if I am to know Jesus and the power of his resurrection, there are three important things. And I believe if it's not true in our lives, we are just religious. We attend meetings, read the Bible, do many things, but we are just becoming religious. And I fear for that, for many of us, my brothers and sisters. Many of us who have been in CFC for so long. Am I going up higher? Am I becoming more spiritually minded, heavenly minded, or am I still stuck to the earth? My attachments, my chains are still down, you know, holding me to the earth. And that is manifest when we go through trials and difficulties, when we have problems, when we face trials, when I face temptation. Then it becomes manifest. We saw that. Whether I am of the earth or whether I am heavenly, whether I am earthly minded or whether I am heavenly minded. Nobody needs to tell me that. I know it myself. You can have an impression about me that I am very spiritual and humble and all that. But I know, and God knows, and God knows better than I know whether I am really earthly minded or whether I am heavenly minded. Whether I am seeking to bear the image of the heavenly or whether I am content just bearing the image of the earthly and walking as a mere man, as a mere woman. That, God forbid, my brothers and sisters, that is not our calling. So the first thing to really partake of this life is so important, I hope it's true, and that is to hear his voice. To hear his voice. John chapter 10, verse 27. Jesus said, John 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Very clear. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And it goes on to say, they do not know the voice of strangers. Do you hear God's voice? I'm not talking about audibly. I've never heard God speak audibly to me in all the years that I've known him. But he speaks to me. He speaks to me. He spoke to me this morning. He spoke to me yesterday. And not just to come and share a word with you, preach a sermon. Many things. Things that happened yesterday, thoughts that go through my mind. Whether I really believe him, whether I really trust him. He speaks, but do I give heed? You don't need to hear God speak audibly to you, to hear a voice in your room, but you can hear his voice in your heart. He speaks to us in our heart, in our consciences. If we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, if our consciences are quickened by the power of the Holy Spirit, I can hear him. I hope those of you who are part of the family of God hear God speak every day, not just Sundays and Wednesdays if you do come. And not just in your quiet time, but throughout the day. My sheep hear my voice, Jesus said, and I know them and they follow me. It says that in the last days God will speak to us in his Son, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, who is the image of God. And it says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Many times we read that in the New Testament, three times it comes. It's a quotation from the Old Testament. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. In the Old Testament, they heard God audibly sometimes. But under the New Covenant, you and I can hear him. Everyone, not just the elders, not just godly men. If you come in yesterday into the family of God, you can hear God speak to you. Do you believe that? I know he spoke to me from the very first day I got converted. The very first night he told me I had to settle some things. Apologize to my parents. Make restitution. Break a relationship. He spoke to me the same night that I gave my life to him. He's never ceased. after that. You cannot partake of this life, my brothers and sisters, if you don't choose to hear God speak to you. My sheep hear my voice. In Psalm 95, in verses 7 to 11, you know, this is the word that comes three times. Psalm 95, 7 to 11. You can look at it, but I'm looking at the three times it comes in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. The same verse, same words that we read, the writer of Hebrews is quoting here, Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 to 11. It says, therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tried me by testing me and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with this generation and said, they always go astray in their heart and they do not know my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Can you imagine God being angry? We heard that many times in CFC, if you're coming here. God was angry with his people for 40 years. And we can boast and say, I've known the Lord for 40 years, 50 years. But is God angry with me? He can bless me, give me everything. You know, they got everything supernaturally. Their clothes didn't wear out. Their sandals didn't wear out. They got food from heaven. They got water from the rock. Took care of them through the wilderness. He carried them in the wilderness. But he was angry with them. Not because of all the sins they committed was because of one sin, and that was unbelief. He says, they always go astray in their heart. They did not know my ways. So God swore, they shall not enter my rest. And you know what? You know the story. They perished in the wilderness. Every one of them. God waited for the last one of them to drop dead in the wilderness. And then the next generation, he led into the promised land. Hebrews chapter 3. Verses 12 to 15. Just the same word which is in Psalm 95. Hebrews 3. It says, take care, brethren. Not people. Take care, brethren. If you read earlier, it's holy brethren. Take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. While it is said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. And again in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 7. Hebrews 4, verse 7. He again fixes a certain day today, not yesterday, not tomorrow, today, saying through David after so long a time, just as been said before, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one, and this is it. You want to know what the rest is? It's not Saturday, not Sunday either. The one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works as God did from his. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. You see, it's so clear, my brothers and sisters, there is a rest that you and I can enter into, where we cease from our works, we stop our struggling and striving and whatnot. It's good to pray, it's good to read God's word, it's good to fast if God gives us a burden to fast. But none of these things will substitute for the rest that God has given his people. And it says we are to be diligent to make sure that we enter into that rest. How? By hearing his voice. Today, if you hear his voice, today, you're hearing his voice. I'm not God, but God is speaking through his word, through his Holy Spirit. Today, If you hear His voice, and I'm sure by the end of the meeting, God would have spoken to every one of us. If you have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, what the Spirit is saying to brethren, include sisters also. Not all the people. And if there are some here who are not part of the family of God, then this is not for you. I hope you, by the end of the meeting, will seek to come into the family of God so that you can hear His voice. That's important if we are to live our life on this earth. That's important if I am to know Him and the power of His resurrection. Today, if you hear His voice, my dear brothers and sisters, do not harden your heart. And not just Sunday, but tomorrow, Monday, and all through this week, you hear His voice in your work spot, in the home. Today, God says, if you hear my voice, don't harden your heart. Humble yourself and believe. We pray, like Jesus taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. What are we thinking of? Just the food on the table? Now when I pray that prayer, I say, Lord, I want a word from your mouth. Because you said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And I ask the Lord, I know you'll give me food on the table. My children and I have never starved, never lacked. We may have gone through difficulties. But Lord, I want that word from your mouth. Give me a word from your mouth that I can live today. I hope that that is what you pray for. And then you will hear God speak to you. God speaks to us. And when we hear the voice of God, we will live, my brothers and sisters. I want you to turn to this word in John chapter 5. John chapter 5. In verse 25, Jesus said in verse 25, truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For just as the Father has life in Himself, even so He gave to the Son also to have life in Himself. And He gave Him authority to execute judgment, because He is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear His voice, and will come forth, those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life, those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment. That's final. But I can hear God's voice today and I can live. And Jesus said, those who hear His voice will live. And don't be surprised, don't marvel at this. A final hour is coming, it says, when those who are in the tombs will hear His voice. But I believe that there are some of us in tombs today who need to hear His voice. To come out of our tombs. Tombs we have built. You know, Joseph Arimathea built a tomb for himself. And many of us build our tombs. It can be tombs of self-pity. I feel sorry for myself. Nobody understands me. Nobody knows what I'm going through. And we pity ourselves. And we don't see that as a terrible sin. That Jesus had to say to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Your mind is on man's interests, not on God's interests. We build our tombs. And we are content to live in those tombs and come to meetings and read the Bible. But we're so down and gloomy. We have not partaken of resurrection life. Because if I hear God's voice, I will live. I will come out of my tomb. Thinking only of I, me and my family. That's a tomb, you know, that we can build. Fear about the future. That's another tomb. What's going to happen? What's going to happen when persecution comes? And we live in these tombs of fear, anxiety and worry. Oh, I think many of us sitting here in those tombs. Anxiety and worry. We worry about the future. We get anxious. And we find that the things we get anxious about and worry about never happen. The future of our children. And when we go through trials and problems, we worry and we are fearful and we are anxious. We need to hear the voice of God, my brothers and sisters, to come out of our tombs. Many of us are in tombs that we need to come out of. and live this resurrection life. It's like those two disciples on the road to Emmaus. They built a tomb for themselves. They were not dead, they were still living, they were walking. Just imagine, Jesus himself draws near. And they couldn't see him, they couldn't recognize him. Because they were blinded by unbelief. They had built a tomb. What was it? You know, if you look at Luke chapter 24. They were talking about the things that have happened. I've shared this before. The things that have happened. And it says their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. Luke 24 and verse 14. And then 16 to 17. It says their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. And said to them, what are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you're walking? What are the words that you exchange with one another in the home? I think these were husband and wife. What are these words you're exchanging with one another? And, you know, they stood still, looking sad. Tomb faces. One of them, named Cleopas, answered and said to him, are you the only ones visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have happened here in these days? In verse 21, but we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it's the third day since these things have happened. And, you know, Jesus, I like his sense of humor. When he asked them, what things? You know, Jesus has a sense of humor. The things that have happened. What things? What are these words you're exchanging? Don't you know about the things that have happened? You see the tomb that we can build, that we concentrate on the things, we focus on what has happened. Instead of focusing on Jesus. Instead of looking at things from his point of view. And that's what we see there. He says, beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself. My dear brothers and sisters, that's what we need. When we are so concerned about the things that have happened, we need to go to God's word. We need to let God speak to us so that we can see from his point of view. Beginning with what a Bible study he gave them as they walked together. And he explained to them the things concerning himself. But it took a long way. It took to the end of the way when they went and sat at the table. And only when he broke bread. And they saw the wounds in his hands. That they recognized him. Do we have to wait for that day when we see him? Can't we recognize him now and stop talking about things? Get out of our tombs, my brothers and sisters. Let God speak to us so that we can come out of our tombs. We can come into a resurrection life. You know, that's how it was with Lazarus. Jesus said to Martha, he said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? If you believe. And it says there that, you know, when Jesus came to the tomb and they were afraid to remove the stone, he said, he's dead already, Lord, and there'll be a stink. Jesus said, did I not say to you, Martha, that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Whatever it is, my brothers and sisters, let the stone roll away. That tomb that you and I have built, roll the stone away, even if there's a stink. He'll speak. He says, Lazarus, come forth. And he came forth. The one who was dead came forth. There was no stink. Resurrection life had come into that body. But he was still bound and he needed to be unbound. And that's how it can be with somebody. We can hear God's voice. We come out and we stop thinking about things. We go to the scriptures. We want God to speak to us, but we're still bound. Thank God there are people around who can unbind you. May God raise up brothers and sisters in this church who will unbind others from their grave clothes so that they can come forth. You like to see somebody walking, you know, like a mummy. I believe that Many of us are like mummies, bound. So many things bind us. Worry, fear, anxiety. Most of all, unbelief. That's why we are told to encourage one another daily, so that none of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. To encourage one another. That's the way to unbind somebody. Do you know that? We need many who can unbind people from their grave clothes in this church. And what is it we need? We need encouragers. Not exhorters, but those who can encourage the brothers and sisters. Whatever it is. And not look at them and frown at them and, you know, why is he this? And why is he dressing like this? And why does he wear this? And why does she wear this? Oh, I hope we'll be finished with that. We seek to help people to be unbound. To come out of their tombs, my brothers and sisters. And we'll see the glory of God. That's what Jesus said to Martha. Did I not say to you, if you believe, you will see the glory of God? And that's what we see it happened with Lazarus. That's what we see also the vision that Ezekiel had when he saw that, when he was in that valley of dry bones. And God said to him, can these bones live? I like Ezekiel's honesty. Lord, you know. And we feel like that sometimes. Dry. Can these bones live? Yes. If we hear the voice of God. Prophesy, the Lord said to Ezekiel, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And if there are some like this, dry as a bone, hear the word of the Lord. That's what Ezekiel said. And this is another thing we need in the church. Those who will not preach sermons would prophesy. You don't need to be an elder for that. Brothers and sisters who can prophesy, who can give life. Oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And God says, oh, dry bones in CFC, hear the word of the Lord and live, my brothers and sisters. And the other thing is to, like we saw, the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus and the power of his resurrection. That's what will happen. That's what will take place. We will know Jesus and the power of his resurrection and count everything else as dung. We need that personal encounter, not just once in our lives, but every day. A personal encounter, that's the second thing that we need. We need to be really touched by the Lord. We need perhaps a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit to lift us out of our graves, to lift us out of our tombs, my brothers and sisters, so that we can live the resurrection life. And the third thing, final thing is, Paul says, one thing I do, forgetting the things behind, reaching forward and pressing on to what is before. One thing. And that's the one thing only that the Holy Spirit calls you and I to do. Forget what is behind. Even what happened yesterday, even what happened this morning. You lost it this morning. You repented and confessed it. You got upset. The children were not ready. Your wife was not ready. So many things happened. In homes, in families with small children, things can go wrong. No power is there. You can't iron your clothes. And you get all disturbed. You want to stay away from the meeting. There's a good excuse people have to stay away from meeting, whether it's Sunday or Wednesday. That's the time you need to come to the meeting. Repent. Confess your sin. It's simple as that. And be cleansed. And come with a clear heart, with a pure heart and a clean conscience. And forget what happened at 9 o'clock this morning. Forget the things that are behind. Reach forward, my brothers and sisters. Reach forward and press on to what is before. We cannot look forward if we are constantly looking behind. It's like an athlete running the marathon. And he's constantly looking behind to see how far the one behind him. And constantly worried how much distance he has between him and the other one. He'll never win the race. Reaching forward to what lies ahead. And press on. And I want to encourage all of us. Rise up and press on and lay hold of this resurrection life. No matter how many times you've fallen, you know, we have heard that often in the church. Micah chapter 7 verses 7, 12, yes, one for those who are always slipping up, falling. It says, as for me, verses 7 to 12, I will watch expectantly for the Lord. You know, we know the verse 8, but I want you to look at verse 7. Do not, it says that we know verse 8, do not rejoice over me, O my enemy. But it says, as for me, I will watch expectantly for the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Who? The one who has fallen. And he says, do not rejoice over me, O my enemy. If you wait expectantly for the Lord and you wait for God, God will hear you, and then you can say in faith, do not rejoice over me, O my enemy. Though I fall, I will rise. Though I dwell in darkness, the Lord is a light for me. I will bear the indication of the Lord because I have sinned against him. Verse 9. Until he pleads my case and executes justice for me, he will bring me out to the light and I will see his righteousness. And verse 10. Then my enemy will see, and shame will cover her who said to me, where is the Lord your God? My eyes will look on her. At that time, she will be trampled down like mire of the streets. It will be a day for building your walls. On that day will your boundary be extended. It will be a day when they will come to you. Who is the Holy Spirit speaking to? The one who is constantly falling. Who gets up, who rises up. I don't misunderstand and think, oh, that's okay. I can go on falling. No, if you have got resurrection life in you, you cannot afford, you will not go on falling, you will rise. You will rise, you will not take refuge that, yeah, you know, I believe in Micah chapter 7, verses 7, 12. No, if you have the power of the resurrection in you, you will rise up. And God will restore. That's what I like there. You know, verse 9, he says, I'll bear the indignation of the Lord. Sometimes the Lord chastises us. I've sinned against him. Until he pleads my case and executes justice for me, he will bring me out of the light. And my enemy will see it. And shame will cover her who said to me, where is the Lord your God? It'll be a day for building your walls. It'll be a day when they will come to you for help. I believe that God speaks to some of us to really seek to rise up from our failure and be available to help others. With confidence you can say, rejoice not over me, O my enemy. Though I fall, I will rise again. And I believe that that is God's will for every one of us. And may God help us, like Paul said, one thing I do, forget what is behind, reach forward to what is before. Your life will take a different direction if you hear his voice. Today, if you hear his voice, and the Lord is saying to you, my son, my daughter, come up higher. Don't harden your heart. Respond to him, humble yourself and believe. The worst sin, I've said that again and again through all the years I've been in this church. I saw that when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. The worst sin, worse than debauchery, worse than murder, worse than pornography, is unbelief. I've seen it. I'm constantly seek to judge myself. Unbelief will take more people to hell than pornography and debauchery and murder and other things. All these things you can see and repent of. Unbelief is deceitful. Take care. There's not in any one of us an evil heart of unbelief that will lead us to fall away from the living God. Let's lay hold of this life by faith and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Ian. It was so good to hear this morning. My heart was blessed. I don't know how half an hour went off. Yeah. I was thinking about resurrection. You know, we've heard many times about resurrection. Resurrection is not just an incident that happened when Jesus rose again from the grave. And it is not an incident that, it's not just an incident that's going to happen when saints will be raised from their grave. But resurrection is a person. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And the same Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." Resurrection is a person. And Paul the Apostle, he had accomplished so much for Jesus. From such a background, God picked him up and chose him, and he came. He started his ministry, and you know what all he did. He raised the dead, healed the sick, and so many wondrous miracles happened through him, and planted a number of churches, and wrote half of the New Testament. And he says in Ephesians, like we read this morning, 3:10, "I want to know, one thing I want to know. What is this? Are you not satisfied, Paul, that you have done so much, accomplished so much?" Towards the end of his life, he says, "One thing I want." What is that? "I want to know Jesus more. I want to know the power of his resurrection." So you put these together, these sentences together. I want to know him and know the power of his resurrection. Know Jesus and the power of resurrection. Resurrection is nothing but Jesus. I want to know Jesus and I want to know him more. In a sense, he wants to know doubly, twice as much. That is the meaning of that verse. I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. It speaks about resurrection, that God, in his mighty power, he raised up Jesus, it says. When God spoke the universe into existence, he just spoke, "Let there be light," and the light appeared. He said, "Let the plants appear," the plants appeared. He said, "Let the dry ground come out of the water," it came out. But it says, God had to exert something. He had to strain himself to some extent to raise Jesus from the dead. This was something that I was thinking about. And we read from John 5. We read from John 5. 5:25 and 20. Here Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, an hour is coming, and now is." This hour has come now. "When the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear shall live." See, he's speaking about the present tense here. He says, an hour is coming, and that hour is now. And we also read, now is the time of salvation. Today and now is the time. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts, it says, lest in any of you there be an evil heart of unbelief. We heard about the evil heart of unbelief. A heart unbelief, we take it very lightly. We think, "Oh brother, I don't have faith." It is, unbelief is not lack of faith. Unbelief is something that is an insult to God. When he says something and I couldn't care less. Here it says, an hour is coming, and that hour is now, when the dead will hear his voice, and those who hear will live. And that is now, when you hear now, those of you who are dead in sins and trespasses, if you hear it with your inner ear, you will live. And the same Jesus said, and another hour is coming when those who are dead in the tomb, you go down to verse 28, do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming, he doesn't say now is here, in which all who are in the tombs shall hear his voice and shall come forth, those who did the good deeds to a resurrection life and those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment. See, he's speaking of two resurrections. One is the one who is dead in sins and trespasses hears God's word from God's servants and listen to that and obey and take action and you shall live. The same apostle said in Philippians 5:14, I think, he said, awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead and Christ will give you light. In the Message Bible, I like it. Jump out of your coffin, he says. Jump out of your coffin. So most of us are, like we heard, we are living, sleeping in our tombs or probably we are in our coffins. The word of God today for you is jump out of it, brother. Jump out of it, sister. Today, you are hearing God's voice. You heard God's voice. Don't harden your heart. Don't say, okay, next Sunday I'll see. I still have a lot of time. Young people, don't you ever think like that. I have seen and heard many young people in their 20s and 30s having tragic death, untimely death. You don't know. We don't know when we go, whether we will reach home from this place. Because we don't know what's going to happen next moment. Life is short, dear brothers and sisters. I'm not scaring you. I'm just telling you the fact of life. Listen, when God's word comes to you, do not harden your heart. Open your hearts to God's word and let it work in you. And may you come out of your tombs. May you come out of your coffins. May you come out of your dead situation of life, dead in sins and trespasses. Come out of it. Ask the one who said, I am the resurrection. Ask him to resurrect you so that you can live this new life, defeating sin every day. And as those who have been born again, I want to talk to you. Are you dying daily, like we heard today? Paul says, I die daily so that the life of Christ also can be manifested in me daily. To the extent that you die, to that extent you get the life of Jesus. If you die daily, you are being resurrected, you are partaking the resurrection life daily. If you just go back to one date and say, yeah, I was saved on such and such a date, brother, I don't know what's your condition. Don't you ever believe that lie that once saved, always saved. Osas. That's not true. I used to believe that doctrine once, not anymore. Today, how are you? What is your spiritual condition today? Are you alive today or are you dead? After you were resurrected, many people who got resurrected in the old covenant and in the new covenant, they died again. But Jesus never died again. I hope you know that the word resurrection is the New Testament word. It is not an Old Testament word. You will never find that word in the Old Testament. It comes only in the New Testament. And resurrection life is the life of Christ. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection is nothing but knowing Jesus and him alone. How do I know him? I know him through his word. I know him through fellowship with one another in the body of Christ. I know him through prayer and praise and worship. Like brother said, I also haven't heard any audible voice all these 41 years of my Christian life. I've only heard through God's word, God speaking to me through his written word. Hebrews 4:12, I think it is. It says the word of God is alive. It's quick. It's alive even today. It speaks to me. It speaks to you as you read it. God speaking to me. He speaks to me when I read God's word. He speaks to me in my heart through still small voice, through promptings. through little nudging, through the pangs of conscience, tells me, no, that was not right what you did. Go and apologize or give that back or whatever it is. As we are obedient, as we take immediate action, then death comes there. And when death comes there, when I deny myself, it's the self that prevents us from partaking of the divine nature. It's the self that stops us and hinders our progress. When I put the axe to the root of this self life of mine, then the life of Jesus Christ comes. Like Paul says in some place, death works in us so that life will work in you. So as death works in me and I die daily and partake of the divine nature and the life of Christ, then I will be able to impart life to others, to those around me. And we also heard about that dry valley vision of Ezekiel. You know, it was fully dry, full of bones of ancient Israel and Israeli army and Israeli people. And God said, and Ezekiel was honest enough to say, can these bones live? He said, Lord, you know. We have to humble ourselves and say, Lord, it's beyond me. My situation is beyond me, Lord. I have gone too far. But nothing is impossible to God. Whatsoever things are impossible with men, all things are possible with God. Whatever is your situation, God can turn it around, give you a new life and a new start, and make you start anew. May God help us.